I don't remember if I've ever done that. I probably preached a patriotic sermon, perhaps, maybe on some of those days, but never just exactly a Memorial Day sermon. Matter of fact, that last year I didn't have a title for it. I just called it a Memorial Day sermon. Amen. But a couple of years ago, I preached about where David honored Saul and Jonathan as they were fallen soldiers, and mentioned about that, remembering those soldiers that have fallen. And today I felt led of the Lord, really through the week I was trying to pray and see where to go, if to deal with husbands and wives this morning, as we've been looking at that some on Sundays, mainly Sunday night. We did a Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago. But praying about it, I felt like the Lord nudged my heart towards this thought. And so Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 7. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading this morning and read in chapter 2 and also in chapter number 3. So if you'll bear with us, our reading. Verse number 7 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them," you might want to underline this, "which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." Thank God. Amen. Jump down to chapter 3, verse number 1. "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known the wars of Canaan." There's another little thing to underline. Had not known the wars of Canaan. "Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, the 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Bel Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." Let's stop reading there and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the day that's been set aside. Honor those, Lord, who made a supreme sacrifice.
Yes.
Freedom that we do in our country. I think it's so important, Lord.
Yes.
Give their life without having to worry.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, well beyond that, we thank you this morning. He that laid down his life and took it up again.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, the text that I've chosen today for my sermon tells the story about the ending of the life of Joshua. Joshua lived to be an old man, 110 years old, and passed away. But not only does it tell about the ending of his life, but it tells about his generation, the ending of all that generation that was surrounded there. And the text shows us that somewhat the people of Israel had obeyed, pretty much, mostly, I guess I should say, mostly had obeyed the commandments of God. They had followed what Moses had given in the law during the life of Joshua. They said that they would. But once he was gone, the text says there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. We've looked at that before, and no doubt you've heard sermons on that before. There arose a generation that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. They didn't know about the history of their nation. They didn't know about the history of God intervening for their nation. And then he goes on to say that the reason for this failure in chapter number 3, verse number 1, is that they didn't know about the wars of Canaan. God left some of those enemy to try them. By the way, God told Israel when they went in to totally wipe them out, to not leave any of them. But Israel had a better idea, they thought. I mean, it's almost like they came up, here's the economical idea. Why kill these people out when we make servants out of them? When we can get gain from them, why destroy them? And so that's what they decided to do. And then they in turn became servants. Amen. Matter of fact, Brother Bradley asked me on Tuesday about a statement, and it's in this text too, that God sold Israel as slaves. God sold them into slavery. And I think the point of that is saying they reap what they sowed.
Right.
Amen. They decided they'd buy and sell slaves, that even ones that God said shouldn't be slaves, they should be destroyed. And so God allowed them to do that, but then God sold them into slavery. Amen. But their failure was due to the fact that they did not know about the wars of Canaan. Again, I say they were ignorant of the history of their nation and of their people. They were robbed of national heroes. We see similarities, don't we? Very easily see similarities there. So this generation that followed Joshua, that didn't know the history, that didn't know the heroes, grew up physically soft, morally degenerate, and religiously ignorant. That's the generation that came up after Joshua. Amen. Using this text, I want to think about our current holiday that's coming up. By the way, holiday does not mean celebration day. Holiday really means holy day. Amen. We celebrate, for example, the 4th of July. We celebrate Veterans Day. We celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, different birthdays. We celebrate those things. But Memorial Day is not a day of celebration. It's not a day of parties and you know, big excitement. It's a day to remember that somebody, many somebodies, bled and died that we could have the liberties and the freedoms we have. Amen. I want to preach today on this thought. Failure by forgetting. Failure by forgetting. That's how Israel failed. That's what happened with that next generation. They forgot where they came from. They forgot the hand of God in their past. They forgot the heroes that God had raised up. Amen. They forgot those things. Our nation has had slogans down through the years. Remember the Alamo. You remember? Remember Pearl Harbor. You remember? Never forget 9/11. But how quick we forget. We fail to remember. Sad, I believe, that today we have to say we are in danger of failure by forgetting. Amen. Amen. We've come to a day and time that much of our people are no longer interested in the past. They're not interested in history. We've accepted this whole false idea of evolution, that everything's just getting better and better and better and better. We're evolving and getting smarter all the time. It just shows how dumb they are. Professing themselves to be wise, they have proved that they are fools. Amen. Much is said today about, quote unquote, being progressive. History in the past now is denigrated. It's thought of as ancient or regressive. Nobody wants to hear about yesterday. Amen. Not interested in yesterday. All they want to know is about tomorrow or the days to come. Amen. People are clamoring for change. People are clamoring for progress. And they do not recognize that progress is only achievable by walking on the stepping stones of the past. That path that has already been cleared, that path that has already been blazed in front of us. Amen. That's the path we must walk if we're going to succeed. Amen. Now I say this. It's not only true politically, it's true in religion. Amen. It's true in religion as well as in government issues or political issues. Amen. We see, looking across our land, we see great old churches and great old ministries that are being shoved aside, that are being devastated, bulldozed by change, by modernity, by new ideas and better ideas that they think they've come up with. And they're pushing aside all those old things. I was shocked some years ago, me and Joshua and Benjamin and Brother Dean Keynes went with Brother McGuire on a Baptist history tour. It's a blessing how that worked, that I was planning to go with them and had some cancellations, and Joshua and Benjamin got to go along. And so it was pretty much me and my boys. Daniel didn't get to go, but me and my boys, then Brother Dink and Brother McGuire. We went and visited a lot of old churches up in the Northeast. Churches, some of the great songs we sing, some of the members of those churches wrote those songs, and churches where great preachers have stood in the past and great things have been done down through the years. And I asked Brother McGuire, we'd talk about different, and I'd say, you know, how's that church? And, well, it's liberal. That's what he'd say. Did you know I don't think there's one solitary church out of dozens that are great churches in our American history that's still using the King James Bible? I don't think there was one. They're not singing the songs that we grew up singing. They're not dressing the way we were taught to dress. They're not living the lifestyle that we were taught. Amen. What's happened? Progress. Push aside the past. And you'd be surprised to find that many of those people that attend those very churches don't even know about the history. They don't even know about it. I remember some years ago, Mom and Dad were on deputation, and they'd been in Iowa, making a trip through, and as they were in Iowa, Dad called me, and he was spending the night in a little town called Ames, Iowa. Just happened that I had been reading a biography of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday is buried in Ames, Iowa. And I said to Dad, I'd go by and find his grave. And Dad said, I think I will. So that evening they talked to the lady at the desk. She'd never heard of Billy Sunday. Had no idea anything about it. When they finally did go find it, it was just a grown-up place. Not marked and recognized as anything much. You know why? Because we're living in a day people don't care about the past. Right. We're not interested in what happened yesterday. We're interested in our dreams, our goals, and what we're going to achieve. Sad to say, we're not going to achieve many of those things if we forget the past. Because we're doomed for failure if we forget. I believe that's right. Amen. And so I think about that, this whole thing about religion as they're moving along, this idea of progress and change. But we also see a generation of Americans that do not know the evils and the dangers of socialism and communism. You know why? Because they've not been taught about the blood that was shed. Amen. They've not been taught about the heroes that gave their life to stop or to hinder the spread of socialism and communism around our world. Amen. They've not been taught about the patriots that stood for liberty and freedom. They don't know about it. Amen. Our forefathers knew about that. Our forefathers knew and understood the need of a education system that would teach and remind people of their past. Amen. These men that built the United States of America, such as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Patrick Henry, others, were well trained and well read in history. Amen. They understood English history as well as Roman history, as well as Greek history. Amen. Even the cowboys, you might be surprised to find, I was surprised when I read about it, even the cowboys that went west, most of them had read the classics. They didn't own it. They might borrow it and pass it around, but they were well read about those great things of history. They understood that. And yet, today, we've got people graduating college and university without even a grade school education on history. Amen. And the worst thing about it is that they're not even interested. They're not concerned about hearing about it. J.P. Lang, he was a writer. He was actually one of Spurgeon's favorite and highly recommended authors. He said this about history. Listen to this. I quote, he said, "The facts of history may be known as the acts of God." Amen. The facts of history may be known as the acts of God. He believed that history points men to God. Amen. Amen. Somebody has actually said that history is actually his story. Amen. George Bush, not one of the U.S. presidents by that name, but also one of Spurgeon's favorite, highly recommended authors, wrote in 1844 about a commentary on Judges and about this Judges 2:10. He said about this generation, listen, he said this generation, quote, had no practical or experimental knowledge of Him, God, no deep or lively impression of His goodness, no affectionate, grateful, or devout sense of the wondrous manifestations of His power on their behalf. End quote. In other words, he said they didn't know history, therefore they didn't know God.
Right.
Amen. Now I want to think about that for a few minutes, and I'll not be real long. I'll try not to be long this morning. This could be a soapbox, to be honest with you. I could really rant and rave on it a while, but I want to preach for a few minutes on that thought, the danger or failure by forgetting. There's a danger there. Failure by forgetting. Three things I want to look about this morning about history. First of all, I want to think about the humanity discovered in history. And I'll talk about the horrors discovered in history. And then I'll talk about the hope that's discovered in history. And I believe we can see them all, and we'll use this text as a springboard. First of all, the humanity that is discovered in history. If you would take the time to read old books, to read about old things that have happened in the history. And matter of fact, by the way, if we just go back and sit and listen to old folks for a while, we don't have time for that anymore.
Right.
We don't. Used to be when, you know, when the sun went down and you didn't have a infinite store of candles or an infinite store of oil for the kerosene lantern, that then you, when the sun went down, you went to bed. You didn't have a television to sit around and watch, or the internet to get on and surf. You didn't even know what surfing was, probably. Amen. But they didn't have all that. But you know what they did do? They'd sit on the front porch or sit out in the yard under a shade tree, and they'd talk. And many of the great stories have been passed down verbally for thousands of years. Those great stories have been passed down, told from one generation to the next generation. Much of history has been told that way, but we've lost that. We have totally lost that. Amen. We've lost an interest in it. A lot of people are not interested in it. Old folks get started talking about that, and that's just, oh, that's just ancient. Who cares about that? That's just regressive. Who cares about that? It shouldn't be that way. But I'll say this. If you would bother to read a little bit of history, you'll come to the conclusion that the world does not center around you or I. That we are not the main wheel that turns the universe. Reminds me, Joshua showed me this thing a fellow sent him the other day. He said he was greatly disappointed when he found out that his universal remote control did not control the universe. Not even remotely. We think we're some big wheel, and the truth is we're a little cog, if anything. Really. And history would help us realize that this world's been spinning for a long time before we came along. Amen. More than likely, we're not going to be able to save it or destroy it. Amen. I realize we've got weapons that we've never had and all that, but it's still the same thing. God's the one in control of it, and He'll destroy it when it's His time. Amen. I do believe that. Amen. I don't need to, that's another tangent you can get off on. But we learn very quickly that we're just a small speck on the landscape of history. We learn that our generation, now listen to this, our generation is not the greatest generation that's ever lived. Amen. We need to be reminded of that. We're told that, here's what one presidential candidate said a few years ago when he became president. He said, "We're the ones we've been waiting for." Yeah. The whole idea, just saying something that means nothing and everybody falling in place. And it sounds so good. We're the ones we've been waiting for. We're the greatest generation that's ever lived. No, we're not. No, we're not. Amen. There's many generations that have accomplished much more, that have known much more, that have attempted much more. Amen. I believe that, I didn't write it down, I didn't look it back up and research it again, but when I read Matthew Henry's biography several years ago, I think he was 7 years old when he was reading Latin and Greek and Hebrew as well as English. About seven. I'll be 70 and I'll still never have known those languages. Amen. I mean, I won't be 70 next year, but I'll be 70. I'm saying, even when I get there, I won't have reached that. Amen. I thought somebody looked at me like, and go, "Man, is he really?" No. Amen. But I'm saying there have been generations that have known much more than we know. They have accomplished much more than we know. Amen. We think we've really done something when we can flip a switch and make the lights come on. But somebody invented all that. Somebody engineered all that. Amen. It would do as well to recognize that our nation was built by human hands. That's why I said we discover the humanity. We owe a lot to other men and women. Amen. Humanity is not a plague that came to our planet. That's what the evolutionists want to say. That's what a lot of the environments say. Well, humanity's a plague. It's a cancer on our planet. No, humanity was invented by God. Humanity was created by God. Amen. I believe it was the pinnacle of God's creation on the earth. Amen. But we owe a lot to humanity. Humanity is not just destroyed. Humanity has created and done many great things. Amen. I realize that our nation was built by human hands. Human hands that suffered and toiled and bled and sacrificed so that we can have the things that we have. I wrote some of this down. We have houses today because somebody cleared the forest of trees, leveled off a spot of land, dug a footing in the dirt, sawed some lumber and constructed a house. We have roads to ride on. Because somebody made a path, then bulldozed the highway and carried gravel or laid pavement down. We have heat in the winter because somebody cut down trees, cut it into sections, split the firewood, or somebody mined the coal, or worked to extract and refine the oil or gas. I'm simply saying the blessings we enjoy came at somebody's sacrifice. Amen. If you don't know history, or you don't think about it, you just take for granted so much, and that's why I believe we are so ungrateful and perhaps even selfish. Think about it. The clothes you're wearing, somebody sowed those clothes. Somebody grew the vegetables, picked the vegetables, packaged the vegetables, cooked the vegetables for you to eat. Amen. Somebody grew the animals, fed, watered, whatever, took care of the animals, then killed them, processed them, and packaged them, and then cooked them that we can eat. Amen. One more thing I wrote that just came to my mind that I don't know that I'd ever thought of it. Somebody sewed the shoes that you walk in. Everything we do and everything we have, if we'll just think about history, we owe to somebody.
All right.
Amen. Somebody's hard work. It didn't just happen. Amen. It didn't just happen. There was a human involved in all that. Now, knowing that, here's what it ought to do. Knowing humanity and learning that from history, it ought to make us kinder. It ought to make us more considerate. It ought to make us more compassionate to others and even more thankful. Amen. More thankful. Memorial Day has come to be known as just a celebration of the first holidays of summer. It's become a day of cookouts, barbecues, picnics, and parties. But it's really a day to remember the soldiers that bled and died that we might be free. I saw a cartoon recently. I was looking up some figures. I'm going to use them on my program in the morning, the Harmony and Eggs morning show. I voice tracked it and I was going to use some statistics. And I saw this cartoon. In one frame, I told Brother Kuhn about it yesterday. One frame, there's a man standing over a grill and hamburgers on the grill. And he says something like this. I wasn't writing this as I did it. But he said something about this. He says, for all these hamburgers and hot dogs, parties and celebrations, we would like to thank those that paid for it. And the next frame is a picture of Arlington National Cemetery. All those white crosses. All those white tombstones. You drive down Main Street and look at all those flags at the Veterans Memorial. And remember that all this fun we have, somebody paid for that. All this time off we have, somebody paid for that. All this enjoyment we've got, somebody paid for it. Amen. It's true. Our lives have been purchased with the blood of patriots. Amen. Our freedoms have been paid for with the lives of soldiers. Far too often we forget that. Far too often we fail to remember. And failure is by forgetting. I believe that. So first of all, we ought to discover humanity in history. Secondly, I want to talk about the horrors discovered in history. I'm going to say this. Most of history is bloody.
That's right.
Amen. Most of history is filled with suffering and hardships. There have been many wars, many battles down through history. But when you study the Bible, we talk about the Old Testament and the New. The majority, 39 books are Old Testament, 27 are New. The great majority. Matter of fact, when you read it and when you read through your Bible, if you're reading it through in a year, about the first 10 months, well, the first 9 months are all going to be in the Old Testament. So 3/4 is history. Really, to be honest with you, what's in the New Testament, the Gospels and the Acts, is history. Amen. Now, there's prophecy, there's things talking about the future, but there's so much in that Bible about history. And we do need to know about tomorrow. We do need to know about eternity. But we also need to be reminded about history. One of the things that blesses me is the history that's recorded in that Old Testament. Names of people we don't know, names of people we're not related to, and yet God said it's important enough, I want their name stamped right there. Amen. God help us remember, there have been heroes in the past. Some of them are forgotten heroes, but they deserve to be remembered. And it's our hurt when we don't remember who many of those are. God wanted Israel to know how He had fought for them in Egypt. That's what He talked about. He used it as if God fought for Israel. He was fighting with Pharaoh. He was fighting with those false gods when He was bringing out all those plagues in Egypt. God wanted them to see how that He had fought for them and how He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. He wanted them to tell their children about how that God had brought them through the Red Sea, how that God had provided for them through the desert, and how that God had brought them and delivered to them the promised land. He wanted them to tell their children about those things. Amen. God wanted future generations to know about the battles and the struggles against evil and wicked nations. Nations with false gods, nations with immorality, immoral appetites, and evil intentions, evil inventions. Amen. He wanted them to know about those things. Again, our founding fathers wanted an educational system that would teach their citizens about the blood, sweat, and tears that were offered up that might forge a great nation out of a vast wilderness. Amen. They set up our nation with biblical principles of morality and hard work. By the way, our nation was not set up on free handouts and redistribution of wealth. Amen. There's a fellow, used to be, I think he was a former congressman. He makes speeches. Joshua showed me some speeches. He showed me a few years ago back in North Carolina, some of the speeches this guy had made. And just recently. And that man's talking about the redistribution of wealth. He said the problem with the left, that's what he said, the problem with the left is that they do not know how wealth is created. They're not interested in creating wealth. They're interested in distributing wealth. In other words, taking what one person's got and giving it to somebody else. He's right. But he said, you ought to drive through Nebraska and see all the corn growing. Then drive through Iowa and see all the wheat growing. And he said, nobody ever drives by and says, you know, there's a problem with the distribution of the corn. And a problem with the distribution of the wheat. No, the reason there's wheat in Iowa, because that's what they plant. They work it. The reason there's corn in Nebraska, that's what they plant and they work it. And the reason there's wealth, because somebody worked for that wealth. The majority do. Very few people actually inherit wealth and maintain it. Very few do. Amen. This is not a seminar on wealth. I'm certainly not an expert on that. But I'm saying, our nation was not built by redistributing wealth. Our nation was built by hard work, blood, sweat, and tears. Build our nation. Amen. We've had it, be honest with you, we've had it so easy, we got to just microwave this and microwave that and warm this up or run out and order that. We got it so easy that we get upset if we have to turn our hand for about anything. God forgive us. Amen. I say this, socialism probably might sound good to the ear, but everywhere it's ever been tried, it's failed. Amen. It has not only failed to produce wealth or equality. By the way, it's not going to. The top men are still going to be the top men. Amen. They can tell you, oh, we're all in this together. Yeah, you watch and see how together we're all in this. Yep. It's not only failed to produce wealth and equality, but it's resulted in massive death squads, concentration camps, and jackbooted thugs. That's what communism and socialism has always brought. Amen. According to the Wall Street Journal opinion writer, David Satter, I found this yesterday, writing a column for a piece November 6, 2017. This was the headline, Wall Street Journal. 100 years of communism and 1 million dead. 100 years of communism and 1 million dead. Here's the first sentence in his opinion piece. He said, the Bolshevik plague that began in Russia was the greatest catastrophe in human history. And now they're trying to bring it to America's shores. You know why? Because we've forgotten. Bernie Sanders and this lady now known as AOC do not want you to know that Adolf Hitler was a socialist. The term Nazi, you ought to Google it. The term Nazi, you know what it means? What it stands for? National Socialist Party. That's what it stands for. National Socialist Party. That was Hitler and his crowd. How did that turn out? 6 million Jews dead. Amen. Hundreds of thousands of Americans dead. Trying to put a stop to some of it. Amen. Well, Hitler, Mao, Mussolini, Stalin, Lenin, Marx, and their whole crowd have terrorized, murdered, starved, and tortured millions and millions of helpless people in the name of socialism and quote-unquote progress. That's history, and we need to know it. Amen. If you do not know about it, we may very well repeat the same mistakes. And we have a generation of people that are not being taught about it. They don't know about these things. You say, preacher, why are you preaching about it? It's right here in our text, right here in the Bible, and we see it right in front of us. What better day to think about it than right here at Memorial Day? Remember these things. Amen. Talk about history has horrors. And when I say communism, that's just recent history. As of, let's say, November the 6th, 1917 was when the Bolshevik Revolution took place in Russia. Russia became communist practically overnight. Just a little over 100 years ago. That's recent history. So very recent history, and yet we don't even know about it. We don't even think about it. Amen. Well, let me move on. Not only is political history filled with horrors like torture and imprisonment and death, but also religious history is filled with the same.
Yes, sir.
We need to know about the atrocities of Roman Catholic rule in the world of history. Amen. We need to know that there have been many writers that have written about the fact that over 50 million Baptists have died at the hands of Roman Catholics down through the ages because they would not bow to Mary or they would not bow to the Pope. By the way, Hitler and Mussolini were not only socialists, they were supported by the Catholic Church. The Pope at that time said Hitler was doing the work of God killing those Jews. There's a quote there that you can find. Amen. And when after World War II was over, when Israel, the new nation of Israel, started, and you know, they had those Nuremberg war trials, and they're trying all those people that had locked people in concentration camps and sold out their neighbors, and all, they were trying them. Did you know that many of those Nazis, those ex-former Nazis, fled and were aided and hidden in South America and in Spain? You know who? By Catholic priests. That's who hit them. That's who hit them. Amen. And I'm not fighting against it. I'm telling you, we need to know our history. We need to remember. If we don't remember, we will fail because we've forgotten. That's true. World history is bathed in blood. We need to remember the Spanish Inquisition. Amen. Catholic Church has not always been against abortion. You ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or there's another one, Martyr's Mirror. Fox's Book of Martyrs deals with a lot of Protestants. Martyr's Mirror deals primarily with what's Baptist, Anabaptist, Waldensian, Valdensian, that vein. But when you read those, I remember reading about one case where a pregnant woman was made to swallow. They took rags and they had pieces of glass and metal attached in those rags, and they put that on her face. She's strapped down. And they let water drip until that rag would get in her throat and she'd eventually have to swallow. And they let her swallow and swallow and swallow until eventually they ripped her guts out with that rag through her mouth. That's Catholics. That is bloody history that we need to be reminded of. Amen. Amen. World history is not all that's been bathed in blood. American history has been bathed in blood. Amen. America has not been the aggressor, but it has paid for our freedoms with the blood of soldiers. I looked to see how many. Estimated 1,264,000 Americans have died in war. 1,264,000. And I believe that's counting soldiers. That's not counting civilians. Some of those as well. But soldiers died in America's wars. We need to remember and see humanity that's discovered. Can I go back and say this and talk about the humanity and then the horror that's discovered? Every one of those 1,264,000 soldiers that have died, a lot of them don't have a tombstone over their burial place. I was shocked. I told this to Brother Hall. I was shocked to find out that over 7,000 Americans are still missing in action in Korea. Not talking about Vietnam. Korea. And like he said, we weren't allowed to go in there and try to get them out. Vietnam, there's still several. I forgot now the number. There's somewhere, I think, over 2,500 still missing in Vietnam. Even though we've had access in there. And even though they supposedly found a bunch of them, they're missing, or they haven't identified their body parts. But those are just recent, in terms of history speaking, recent things that have gone on. But every one of those was somebody's son. And somebody's, could have been somebody's daddy, somebody's husband. There was a human that meant something to somebody. And I'll tell you, by signing up and taking that place to fight against that evil, they ought to have respect and honor. But then by giving their life, making that sacrifice, surely they ought not just mean something to their mama, they ought to mean something to their fatherland. They ought to mean something to our nation. They ought to mean something to me and you. They ought to mean something in history class.
Amen.
Now, we're not in school. Most of us are not. There's a few of you still in school. And I know you're saying, oh, no. I say, praise God, I'm glad you are. Learn while you can. Gets harder when you get older. But can I tell you, don't quit learning when you get out of school. Amen. If you don't learn anything after you get out of school, you'll be a dummy your whole life. You need to learn a lot more after you get out. But it do us good to study some about history. Amen. All right, that's my soapbox. Here's the last thing, the hope discovered in history. Oh my, here's why God wanted them to know about all that. God wanted Israel to know about the wars of Canaan so that they could see God in those wars. That they could see the hand of God on the battlefield. Just as I said, when they saw that American, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Praise God. Is that flag still standing? That's what it's saying. Is that flag still standing? Yes, the flag's still standing. You know, they said the bombs went off and the fire went through and we didn't know if it would stand, but by the grace of God, that's what they'd say. By the grace of God, the flag still flies. Amen. We ought to see God in that. Amen. See that God has helped us. Amen. Not just see the humanity of history or the horrors of history, but hope. God has been there in the past. And He can help us. God said here in this text, in chapter number 2 of Judges, they forgot. And then they went into evil. They went into serving other gods and false gods and all that. And God was angry with them. By the way, they need to be reminded, there's judgment for doing wrong. You're not going to do wrong and get by. You can laugh about it and shove it off and think it's nothing. You're not going to get by. But in spite of God being angry with them, the Bible said God raised up judges. Verse number 16. Look at that with me if you can. Chapter 2, verse 16. Nevertheless, thank God for that word. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Not just that patriotic men stood up. Not just there was some good men there, but God raised them up. Amen. I thank God for the men that He's raised up. Men that He's put His hand on down through history. That have been a help to our nation. Amen. One way or another, you could run a lot of things there. But God has always raised up good leaders in time of turmoil, time of trouble for the nation of Israel. And I believe He's done it for us as well at different times. But this, raising up these judges was always contingent on two things. When Israel would do wrong, God would sell them into the hands of their enemy. You don't ever read God raising up a deliverer until they repented and they prayed. Amen. They repented. That tells me they remembered where they'd failed. And they remembered what they're supposed to get back to. And they prayed for deliverance. Amen. And we just went through, back in the first part of May was the National Day of Prayer. And really, it has become almost a laughing stock at some of the stuff that they do. But our nation needs a day of repentance and prayer. Amen. Amen. Our nation, amen, not pray and then go out and have a beer together. No, we got to repent of all that mess that's running through our streets and running our society. Amen. We got to turn from that before we can ever turn to God. Amen. But it was done in answer to repentance and prayers. When they pray to God for mercy, God's a merciful God. When they would pray to God for deliverance, God would send deliverance. Amen. And I say likewise, we need to see that God has, throughout history, raised up godly men down through history. Even in the dark ages of the Roman Catholic Inquisition, I mentioned that. God raised up men known as the Reformers. God raised up the Puritans. God raised up that. I believe God had a remnant of believers all through that. That God raised up and strengthened them to be able to stand for what was right. Amen. Even when they were saying, listen, when they were saying, we don't want the common man to be able to read his Bible. We don't want the common man to be able to understand his Bible. God raised up men of some education, some men of some information, and some men of theological backbone, amen, that would translate our Bible into a language we could understand. Thank God, hallelujah. Amen. God did that through history. And there's hope. There's hope that in spite of the onslaught of the devil, God's still involved in history. I say this, America has been given a healthy dose of patriotic God-fearing leaders down through the years. God has given us men like that. It would stand up against the despots attempting world dominion. Amen. Many of these heroes died in desperate, premature conditions, standing for our liberties. They need to be remembered. They need to be honored. And God needs to be recognized in our history. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Not just a history lesson we need. We need to get to God. We need to get to God. Perhaps you'd like to come and thank God for His blessings. Thank Him for His mercy, sparing us. Perhaps you'd say, Lord, help me to remember. Help me not to fail because of forgetting, but help me to remember the hand of God. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. The illustration of those, that generation that arose after Joshua that knew not the Lord, that didn't know about the wars of Canaan, that didn't know about the victories of the past, but Lord, You in mercy allowed them to repent, moved on them to pray, and You moved on their behalf. Father, help us get back to some of that ourselves. Help those of us that do remember, those of us that are aware, Lord, help us to remember and repent, to return and call on the Lord again, to request help from the Lord. Lord, if there be somebody here this morning unsaved, I've not preached primarily to lost folk, but Your Word's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and Your Word can quicken the heart of that dead sinner. Lord, I pray You'd draw them and save them by Your power. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord?